Medicon Medical Publishers produces peer-reviewed reports and highlights on major medical meetings. We bring the Congress to the physician.
Medicom had the opportunity to interview Professor Richard Deckhausen, the editor for the American Thoracic Society conference report, and he tells us a little bit about what he thought was exciting during the ATS reports. Thank you for listening.
Dear colleagues, we would like to invite you to read our Congress summary of the ATS 2022 last May in San Francisco. It was great that we could visit the location physically again, and we also had a lot of video meetings. And I would like to mention perhaps two or three areas of specific interest where we have a lot of data in our Congress summary. First, of course, to start with COVID. There was a nice study on inhaled interferon beta, the so-called Sprinter study, in patients who were hospitalized with supplemental oxygen. And the primary endpoint was the time to hospital discharge. In fact, in a placebo-controlled phase 3 trial, that endpoint was not reached. But in a subgroup with over 65 years, comorbidities, some other characteristics, there was a significant reduction in worsening of the disease predefined compared to placebo. So this study certainly stimulates to do additional research on interferon beta, very specific allocated groups probably. Now, and then, of course, we have there's a lot of other COVID studies, but long COVID is getting more and more attention, of course. Just two nice studies to mention. One study on almost 1,400 people, most of them working, who got COVID and who were followed up for up to 5 months. And 75% of these patients, COVID patients who had been healthy before, had one or more criteria of frailty 5 months after the acute disease episode, which 5 months is certainly not 1 year, but it already indicates there's a lot of disability 5 months after an acute COVID infection. It has been published in Lancet Respiratory Medicine. And the last item to ask your attention for is pediatric long COVID. And it doesn't happen a lot, but there is an international collaboration, including the Netherlands, looking at how care of these pediatric patients is organized in different countries. And it appears that almost 2/3 of the young patients were symptomatic even after 12 weeks after the acute episode. So also in pediatric patients, long COVID may occur. Well, then another area, just to pick one, asthma. We know from asthma treatment, medical treatment, that there is a shift in the paradigm indicating that in early asthma, in relatively mild asthma, we go further and earlier to ICS-LABA combination, more rapidly than in the past. So if a patient needs SABA 3 times a week or more, then all the international guidelines supported by studies indicate that you should start then with an earlier treatment with ICS-LABA. And now at the ATS, there was a subsequent study published in the New England Journal by Alberto Papi and his colleagues from Ferrara, Italy, looking at uncontrolled moderate to severe asthma. And then with the question if you also there have to give rescue medication with ICS-LABA instead of only SABA. And indeed, significant improvements in exacerbations, in hospitalizations, etc., in favor of ICS-LABA as rescue in comparison to only SABA as rescue. So I'm quite sure that this will be has to be confirmed in other studies, but I'm quite sure that this will also enter the guidelines quite rapidly. On asthma, there were also at least 3 very nice studies on biologicals in adults and in children with asthma, and many of these patients also had atopic comorbidities. And these biologicals also appear to attenuate the symptoms of these topic comorbidities. So interesting to read. And then finally, just two items to mention. One is on a refractory cuff, which is really a problem for patients and also for pulmonologists. 8 weeks of persistent cuff without a clear cause and without a clear underlying disease. Very bothersome for patients. And the P2X3 receptor has been implicated in the pathogenesis and the persistence of these symptoms. And there are some antagonists now, and at least two studies have shown in a phase 2B study that symptoms are really attenuated by these antagonists, which is hopeful for patients. And finally, just to mention one other item is that you know that for interstitial lung disease, IPF, there are new antifibrotic drugs, to some extent new, to some extent a couple of years now in the clinical practice. And the guidelines on, let's say, the medical treatment of interstitial lung disease has been updated now again. This has been presented at the ATS, it has been published, and it's a very robust set of data and a robust set of recommendations. So, just to end, I hope that you will find some important new practical data for your clinical practice. And we really hope, as an editorial team and the writers, that you will enjoy reading this ATS summary report. Thank you very much.